I'm going to give you a report of what Irene and I did in Arizona this winter. I would like to start by reading 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, where it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, the first thing I need to say to you is that Ethnos 360 isn't about airplanes. It's about the gospel. Airplanes and pilots and those that take care of them are a useful tool for the furtherance of the gospel. And Irene and I were there again this year, and we thank you for your prayers for us. And if at any time during these pictures you have questions, just shout them out and I'll give you an answer. It may not be the right answer, but it'll be an answer. You didn't ask for the right answer, right? Anyway, we left home on January 28th, and which was a Tuesday, and we got there on the Friday, and we took our oldest grandson, Bailey Elias, with us. He wants to become a, he's considering becoming a pilot, and he wanted to know what that was like, and he wanted to fly in airplanes, and he got to fly a lot in airplanes, and he had a really good time doing it. And we got there on a Friday, and so on a Saturday we went touring. This is the abandoned open pit mine at Bisbee, Arizona, which is just a few miles away from where we were. It was a lovely day on the weekend, and he found the basketball court right away. And there you go. And it wasn't very many sessions on the basketball court where the court was full of all the kids at the place. And they would come halfway through the afternoon and knock on the door. "Hi, can Bailey come out to play?" But he was perfect for that because he's got a whole row of younger siblings that he has always played with. We started work on Monday, and there was a group there of 11 men and one woman from Indiana, and they were we helped them to build two garden or storage sheds for two of the houses on the base. And when that happens, it takes a little while to find out your place where you fit in on this group. It didn't take Bailey more than 5 minutes. He grabbed a roller and started painting. And he fit in really well, and it worked really well. And, of course, all the older. There was 11 people from Indiana and two couples from SOARS. SOARS is an acronym for Seniors on Wheels Ever Ready. They are seniors with RVs that go to different projects all over the states, and this lady was one of them, and of course the ladies from the SOARS thought Bailey was wonderful, and what a nice young man. And I said, yes, he gets that from me. Anyway, these are the sheds that we built, and they went up very quickly because with 11 guys, and one of them was a contractor, he was in charge. And the other one of them was a renovator, and another one was an engineer, so that we had lots of help. I did my best work on the ground supervising and giving simple instructions. And this is the other one, the green building on the right-hand side. That was taken right out of our east-facing living room window. And does this help? Am I out of the road better? Some of the days were a little cool, and this was some of my best work here. No, I found out that I could do my most good with a circular saw cutting siding boards. And so that's looking out our other window where a roadrunner was running across the yard. And there's a few of them. We worked till the weekend, and on the weekend we went for a tour. This is Chiricahua National Monument. We went for some hikes, and it was really a different kind of place. The natives call that the land of standing up rocks, and it's really weird, really different. And it's about 30, 35 miles away from the base. Yeah, really different country, really beautiful. Sunday we went to church. They had a new pastor. He was just there, fresh from Village Missions, same organization that Richard Tavaya is with. And he started on the Book of Ruth. And Monday morning, the Indiana crew was gone. They went back home. They were only there for a week. And Bailey and I were left, and the two sower men were left to finish these on the outside. They had the Bailey was painting the first coat of the siding and the trim boards, and then we had to caulk all the seams and everything and give it the second coat. So I was very busy there, and I was the top of the ladder, kind of the high-ranking guy, and it worked really well. That's that that cement-based siding, Hardy board, very tough siding. They like it down there because it resists all manner of weather. That guy on the ladder is Jack. He was one of the sowers. The other one was Dennis. This guy was from Michigan. Dennis and his wife were from southern Missouri. He had a beautiful southern Missouri accent. We got a lot, big kick out of it. And we continued working. We were putting the second coat of paint on. On the weekend, we went touring again. This is Whitewater Draw. This is where all the sandhill cranes from this part, all of Western Canada, migrate and go down to Arizona. And it's straight that way, about 3 miles to our base. So this is very different. These birds make a lot of noise. And this isn't really a typical Arizona scene, is it? But they from wells, they keep that so that there's water in it all winter. Back to church on Sunday, chapter 2 of Ruth, and Monday morning we're back hard at work. They wanted a couple of pads in front of the walk-in doors and these sheds. So me and my assistant, we started thinking really hard and planning for this and making forms. And on this project, we had a fair amount of help because the Kresge boys came cruising over. There was three little brothers there, and they were so cute and a lot of fun, and we had a lot of fun harassing them and hassling them. They were just busting to do some shoveling and helping and whatever you could do. It was hard to control them. Yeah, this little dude, he was a lot of fun. That's one of them. And then this house was going to get painted by the sowers after we left, but there was this great big cactus sitting right up against the house and you couldn't get at it. And I started feeling the cactus, and there was really no needles on it to speak of. But all of a sudden, I noticed on my gloves, they were covered with fine little wee needles, just like hair. You could hardly see them, and they would go right through a leather glove, and they would hurt like crazy. And so they wanted this cactus saved and planted elsewhere. And so I started looking around and asking where you could, how do you do that? Like the head of maintenance thought that we should dig it out with a backhoe and then transplant it. And I went into the thing, into the hangar and asked anybody who's got experience with this. Well, a cactus is like a willow. You just cut off a leaf and it'll self-root. So we cut off a couple of leaves and saved them. And the rest of it, I just cut down with a chainsaw. And that was the sloppiest, ugliest mess you can imagine because they're full of water. In that dry climate, they're just sloppy and wet and needles flying. That pair of jeans got chucked afterwards. My gloves got chucked. And at the end of our time there, the shoes I wore got chucked. And this is an evening at Ethnos looking west out of our window. And in the middle of February, it's springtime in Arizona. These yellow flowers, what are they, Irene? Daffodils, yeah, they're growing already. Pretty neat. In our last week, the sowers were gone. And it was just Bailey and I holding down the fort, and the Kent wanted us to do the maintenance and service on this grasshopper mower. And we had a few struggles getting it going, but finally, if you use enough ether and fresh plugs, you can get it running. And we did an oil change on it and tuned up everything, and then it had an electrical issue that we couldn't figure out. So I went to the hangar and found Jim Stewart, and he's a 12-volt electric kind of a guru, and he figured out what was wrong with it. It was just a safety switch. I did some trimming. Bailey did some mowing. And then Bailey flew a lot, like I said. He went with Doug Heft, a good friend of ours. Three of the fellows there own a Piper Super Cub, fully restored, and Bailey went with it quite a bit and flew the airplane a lot. And I went for a ride. I just sat in the back seat and watched the scenery. This is the Chiricahua Mountains. It was, and that's a 1955 Piper Super Cub, it is the equivalent if you restored a 1955 Chevy. This is that kind of value in airplanes. And it was a lot of fun.
You trusted your life to that?
Yes, I did. That's as near as you can get to flapping your wings and flying by yourself. It was a fairly good wind when we took off, and we were headed northeast toward the Chiricahuas, and Jim told me that our ground speed was 68 miles an hour. Wide open, that's all she'd do. When we came back, it was about 82, you know. He said, they're going faster on I-10 than we are flying here. That was the base. That was coming in on final in the base, and that's the Ethnos base from the air. Over here is the hangar and on the left, and the office, and that building straight away, that big building out at the far end, is the maintenance building. That's where Bailey and I worked out of. And the rest of it is housing and residential. And then on one of the weekends, I can't remember which one, we went to Tucson, Arizona, to the Pima Air and Space Museum, and Bailey just about jumped out of his shoes. He had so many different directions he had to go into and to take it all in. And he even found this ugly old monstrosity. I wouldn't have known what it was, but he knew it was of course the sign said it was a Russian MiG-29. Ugly monstrosity, isn't it? Another sense, sunset. And Irene, at the end of our time there, went out for breakfast with these ladies. It's nice. You go back there and meet people you've been with and meet new ones as well. And they had a good time together. After we were done there, we were going to do a bunch of touring around. Bailey got a little bit under the weather. So we went as far as the Grand Canyon and checked that out and spent a better part of a day there. And then we also went to Monument Valley, which is at the border of Arizona and Utah. Remember all those Bugs Bunny and Roadrunner shows? That's what it was based off of. We had a really good time there. After that, basically came straight home. And while we were there, the new pastor at Valley Bible Church was into the book of Ruth. And I'd like to read Ruth chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, this is the story of Ruth and Boaz, Ruth 3, verse 7. And after Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was cheerful, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she, who was Ruth, came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. This is a beautiful picture of our salvation. The love story between Boaz and Ruth mirrors the love story between Jesus and his church, his bride, the church. Just as Ruth came humbly to Boaz's feet in full submission and humility, we have to come to the feet of Jesus in repentance and complete humility. And Ruth asked Boaz by that act of lying down to be her redeemer, her kinsman redeemer, and we have to come to the feet of Jesus and ask to be redeemed. There is no room for arrogance or a haughty attitude. We need to come with a broken and contrite spirit, just like Ruth. I love the way Matthew Henry writes it in his commentary. He says, quote, "This narrative may encourage us to lay ourselves by faith at the feet of Jesus. He is our kinsman. Having taken our nature upon him, he has the right to redeem." And that is a beautiful picture of our redemption and our wonderful Redeemer. Ethnos and all its divisions is about bringing this good news all over the world. It's a great privilege for Irene and I to go there and help for one month of the year. And good Lord willing, we would like to go back again next year. In closing, I will just read one verse, Matthew 11, verse 28, where it says, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."